Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The virtues of the Quran Sharif. As Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the Quran is placed in his skin and then put into fire, it will not get burnt. As Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the Quran is placed in his skin and then put into fire, it will not get burnt. The Muhaddithin have interpreted this hadith in two ways. Some of them take the word skin and fire in the literal sense. In this case, the hadith refers to a miracle which was particular in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same way as the miracles of other Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam were specific to their lifetime. In the second case, the word skin is interpreted to mean the human skin, and the word fire means the fire of Jahannam. Thus, the application of the hadith is general and not confined to any particular period. It means that if any hafiz of the Quran Sharif were cast in due to any crime on his part, the fire of Jahannam will not affect him. In another hadith it is said that the fire will not even touch him. The second interpretation of the above mentioned hadith is also supported by another hadith reported by Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and also given in the book Sharh Sunnah by Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah ta'ala, which says, learn the Quran by heart, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish the heart which contains the Quran. In its meanings, this hadith is clear and confirmed by the Quran Sharif. Those who regard memorizing the Quran as useless should, for Allah ta'ala's sake, ponder over these merits and rewards. The last mentioned one alone should prompt everybody to dedicate his life to learning the Quran Sharif by heart, because there is no one who has not committed sins and does not deserve the fire of Jahannam. In Sharh al-Ihya, there is a list of those people who will rest in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on the horrible day of Qiyamah. It is mentioned therein that according to a hadith reported from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu by Daylami rahimahullah, that the custodians of the Quran Sharif, in other words, those who learn the Quran by heart, will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the company of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam and the virtuous people. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads the Quran and learns it by heart and regards what it makes lawful as lawful and is unlawful as forbidden will be admitted into Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will also accept his intercession in respect of 10 such persons of his family who shall have been doomed to the fire of Jahannam. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads the Quran and learns it by heart and regards what it makes lawful as lawful and is unlawful as forbidden will be admitted into Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will also accept his intercession in respect of 10 such persons of his family who shall have been doomed to the fire of Jahannam. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, entry into Jannah is ensured for every believer, though it may come after his being punished for his misdeeds. The hafiz will, however, be favored with this entry right from the beginning. The 10 persons in whose favor his intercession will be accepted will be those sinful and disobedient Muslims who are guilty of major sins. There can be no intercession, however, for the unbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. Whosoever ascribes partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him Allah has forbidden Jannah, and their place is Jahannam, and for evil doers there will be none amongst the helpers. It is also said in the Quran Sharif, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. The Anbiya alayhim salam and the believers are not allowed to pray for the forgiveness of the mushrikeen, the one who subscribes partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the polytheists, even if they are their relatives. The Quranic ayat clearly says that the mushrikeen will never be forgiven. The intercession of the huffaz will therefore be for those Muslims whose entry into Jahannam has been determined by their sins. Those who are not huffaz and cannot memorize the Quran should at least make one of their relatives a hafiz, so that by Allah Ta'ala's grace he may be saved from their own evil doings. Allah be thanked for this gracious favor on the person whose father, uncles and grandfathers, both maternal and paternal, were all huffaz. This applies to the author. May Allah bless him with more favors. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Social etiquette. If a person arises from his place and goes away, intending to return quickly, then this place is his right. Another person should not sit there. It is appropriate for the person conducting the gathering that if he has to arise for some necessity, and he intends returning, then whilst arising he should place his scarf, turban, etc., so that those who are present know that he will return. Two people are intentionally sitting together in one place. One should not sit in between them without permission. If a person comes to meet you, then you should move slightly to offer him place, even though there is a place in the gathering. In this, there is some honor for him. Without necessity, with the intention of showing one's superiority, one should not sit in a distinguished place in a gathering. When a person goes to any gathering, then he should not jump over people to reach a specific place. Wherever there is space, one should sit there.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to keeping a perfect roza and a complete roza, we discussed we must keep roza of the eyes also, then roza of the tongue also, and from there about roza of the stomach, that is the food that we eat. And also we touched on roza of the ears, that we must be very careful of what enters the ears. All these things are extremely important. Maulana Fasihuddin explained to me, he's from France, he's there in France, in a place called Vendôme, that today we have become such slaves of our taste and our food, that we just want to satisfy and become happy with the food that we eat. So there is a Turkish masjid also. MashaAllah, Maulana has done great, great work there. Normally, wherever we go, if they are Algerians, they will have their own masjid. Tunisians, their own masjid. Moroccans, their own masjid. All of them, Libyans. But all the Arabs, Maulana has got them in one masjid. And he has got so much respect there, I saw with my own eyes, that though the local people, the Arabs, are all whites, Maulana is here from Africa, from Mayotte originally, but they have so much respect for him that even if he's half an hour late, they won't start namaz. They say only when the imam comes, then we can start namaz. Anyway, Maulana explained to me that there is a Turkish masjid also, and no Maghrib namaz takes place in Ramzan. It's so shocking. No Maghrib namaz takes place, not even the imam, no one. All are busy eating. Just imagine where shaitan has got us. What is the object and how we have missed it. So if we don't cut the thing in the bud, we don't cut it from the roots, see the way it can reach. And in Ramzan Sharif, that is in the masjid, officially there isn't a jamaat taking place. So this is where these things can take us to. So Allah, we must be very careful. Don't think anything. Quran Sharif says, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. Many of these things you think it's a small matter. What is this? Nothing all this year. But it is very big by Allah. And where it reaches. We explained also that how shaitan with just one drop of syrup, how he causes two people to fight and kill one another. And just by putting a drop of syrup. So all these things looks like small. This eating out or eating doubtful food, or in fact, how many cases now open haram food also. And we just not worried about it. Just because we have to satisfy our taste and the food that we have become slaves of food, slaves of our taste. So this is a person who is a slave of his food and taste. Then how can he ever achieve anything in this world? Man who are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which the Quran refers to as Rijal. And they were not men of steel, men of iman. They were such people, لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Even business did not make them move a little bit from the obeying the commands of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة and performance of namaz, giving of zakat, etc. And they were such people, يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ, that they feared the day when eyeballs will turn around. Hearts will turn around and eyeballs will turn around the day of Qiyamah. How, what a fearful, they had this fear all the time. So these were the people who were not slaves of their taste and of their food. But if we can't even overcome our nafs to that degree, that we, no matter what it is, even if it's doubtful, or even in fact if it's haram, but what our taste is, we must get that. And we go to what lengths to prove it. Similarly, one lady from Azadville sent an email of a case of Azadville. A lady who went and visit, who was her personal friend, visited India, and when she came back, she got typhoid. And usually this disease is related with cholera, but anyway, she got typhoid. And the doctor explained to her, because at the restaurants, these waiters who go to toilets, they don't wash their hands. And they come back and that food, that dirt mixes with the food. And because of that is this disease. Cholera is generally related to this. In Mauritius, there is our good friend, Bhai Firoz Turawa, Malana Shabir's uncle, also who is here, Malana Shabir. He explained to me the Prince of Kuwait went for a trip to London, most probably it was. When he landed there, he died because of the same contamination of feces that was in the food. Afterwards, when they did the post-mortem, etc. So this food that is from outside, even from a health point of view, it's not to be relied upon. If a person, just to make it a habit to go and eat out, this is very, very detrimental, very harmful. If a person is traveling and sometimes, and there also he must be choosy, very selective in what he eats from these places. Especially meat, avoid it completely. Now, we were returning once from Umrah, and on the Saudi plane, it was the Saudi Gazette or the Arab News, one of the two newspapers. And on the front page was an article of some expatriates, Bangladeshis or whoever they were, Pakistanis, they were selling to the hotels rotten meat. And then the hotels cook that meat. They only flavor it nicely and color it nicely, but it's actually rotten meat. And this was right on the front page of the newspaper. So don't be just slaves of our taste, and because the spallonis and vores and that, generally the commercial one, if it is made privately at home or something, or some reliable person, it's different. But otherwise it is all the waste. When they are cutting their meat in the machine, and that of the bones and all that, and the fat, etc. Our children, and even we, the other, like the bheja, the brains, which is very healthy, and paya, the legs, the bones, to boil and eat it, which is very healthy, but we look down on it, we don't want to eat it. But in there, they put all this, the fatty things, what we call chichra, the fatty things. All that is just minced fine, and then filled in there, it is colored very nicely, and just with flavoring, with all synthetic flavorings, it is given a nice taste. And it is surprising that how good people can't stay. We must have it, especially for breakfast, till there isn't paloni, there isn't vores or something, then it's not a breakfast. But this is actually all the dirt that is, because theirs is a business. They want to make money, and they don't want anything to go for waste. Everything must be used. Their kamal, their perfection is that how they can make money out of any and everything. That's a businessman. Yeah, out of every moment, out of everything, he must not waste at all. A businessman wants to make money out of everything. So we should be very careful about these things of what we eat. And then one email that had come from America, you know, that person also heard our bayan here, and then he emailed me, and this is horrifying what he has sent, and he has sent the pictures also, that even the genitals, the private parts of human beings, how they also touch it with all this food and that, and the dirt that comes, masturbating, etc. And then that filth and dirt is also put into this here. So this public food, and I say this just to try and discourage our friends, because I see most of us, we have become like slaves to it. We just can't do without it. It is there, but we can't just seem to avoid it. And it is so harmful. If a person can just think, and today the world is gone weird. They do all this, and they take the photo of it and put it on the internet also. Today what and what, a person kills somebody, tortures somebody, he takes the photo and he puts it on the internet also. People are gone, I don't know, where Shaitan also must be wondering that who is Shaitan? Am I Shaitan or these people? What things man has come down to? And we follow in that way of their life, then these things will come into our lives also. So these are things that we have to cry about. And how sad that we get involved in all these things. So we should be very, very careful about this and about our food that we eat. In fact, once we were having breakfast with our Hadrat Rahmatullah Ali here in South Africa, and they put also Palonis wars in front of Hadrat. Hadrat said, "Isko mere samne se hatao, jaldi se hatao. Move it away from me quickly." He said, "Uski shakal to dekho. See what's the shape of it. Just move this away from me. I don't even want to see it." So anyway, this, we should avoid all these things for health's sake, and then for deen, which is more important than our health. But that isn't got importance to us so much. Perhaps, hopefully, but if we speak about it from a health point of view, people will hopefully understand. Coca-Cola, all these cold drinks also, if from a deeny point of view, it is so harmful. But people don't, and they just make a joke out of it. They just make some sarcastic remark or something. But hopefully from a health point of view, if we can understand how harmful these things are. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So then we also discussed about the tongue also, the guna of the tongue. One other big guna also is, one is ghibat, which we did discuss to a little bit. It is also we should consider the control our tongue. And if a person stays, beautiful examples which Buzurgs give, a cow that grazes at right till the fence of the land which it belongs to this owner of the farm, and it grazes on the border, inevitably it will go over the border also. By fence I mean not our fences, the wire fences. They just demarcated that this is the limit. But that farmer who keeps his cows far away from the border, they won't go over to the neighbor side. The same thing with our trousers, we must try that don't keep it to the last limit, that is just above the ankles. Because the trouser, inevitably, it also slips down. And especially when a person's stomach has come out, then that stomach, that the trouser plays drafts with it. The game of drafts. Two people were traveling in a train. One was a big bulk person who feels very hot, and one was a skinny person who feels very cold. So the window was open, so the skinny person felt cold, he closed the window. So this big bulk person, he feels hot, so he opened the window. This happened 2-3 times. Then when the skinny person opened the window, closed the window again, this big bulk person asked him, "What are you doing?" He got angry, and he's big bulk also. So that person said, "I'm playing drafts. Now it's your move. I made my move, I closed it. You make your move, you open it." So the trouser also play drafts with us all the time. One move that you pick it up, each move it goes, slips down. So continuously you have to pick it up. But try and keep it, and in fact, when you have it sewn, have it a bit shorter, so that it is well above the ankle, so that even if it slips a little, it doesn't go beyond the ankle. So that is also very important, we should try. Otherwise, the trouser, when you don't take notice, unintentionally, And hopefully there won't be guna, but a Muslim is a conscious. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, once in Medina Park, somebody had given him a gift, this mishla, which the Arabs wear, this jubba like. So usually they wear, it's very long, so Hazrat had it shortened. When it came shortened, then he was just testing it, whether the length is right or not. It was also over, and then Hazrat got very angry, he said, immediately take it off. What if my mort has to come now? And this mishla is below my ankles. I mean, my mort must come in a state of guna, that while I'm in the sin of Allah Ta'ala. From that, this is not our subject that will come. But those who don't keep their beards or don't keep them properly, they also all the time in sin. While they're in tahajjud, while they're crying in dua, while they're sleeping, they are in sin all the time. And a person who kept his beard properly, while he's sleeping also, he's in the ibadat of fulfilling that sunnah. Everywhere where he is, he's making, he's in that ibadat of fulfilling that sunnah. So anyway, so with regard to the tongue, another guna that also is very common, unfortunately, is fighting that we have. And then swearing one another. And these certain gunas are such that right in the home, with the family, our language, some of us, it's unbelievable how our language is at home. When we come out, we go in Jamaat, for example, we come in the Khanka, we like big buzurgs. And then we talk and we're making ikram of everyone also, and we are so sweet also. But at home is a different story. Whereas your best akhlaq, you must show at home with your family. You must be have a big heart, accommodate them. But on small, small things, how many cases which we read in Islah, Akhlaq also, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum has written, there are those husbands who take their wives to task for every small thing. And in fact, this is another very serious thing. More it happens that the men are the transgressors on the woman. Sometimes it's the other way around also. And that is, we find fault so much with them that they start thinking they suffer from an inferiority complex. That we are not worth anything. Whatever I do is wrong. I can never please my husband. Whatever I say is wrong. Whatever I do is wrong. To create, to make a person feel like that. Sometimes it happens the husband is a bit weaker and the wife is stronger. And she makes the husband feel like this. That he's useless, he's not worth anything. And the other thing is that if this is added or it is understood that no, other men are very good, you are useless. Or you tell your wife other women are very good, you are useless. This is not at all correct for a Muslim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best of you is who shows the best akhlaq, more or less the words, to their wives. And I show the best akhlaq to my wives. This is very important to treat our wives very well. Most of the complaints that come are from women about the men. A few men complain about their wives. But moreover, it is the women who complain about the husbands, how they are being treated. So this is a thing that we must also try and control. And here in Ramzan, if we can keep roza of the tongue, that is hardly speak. Only what is absolutely essential. That also, one of the remedies that are taught is when you lie on your bed at night, then you think today, what did I speak? What was necessary? What was unnecessary? But that remedy can only come when you have reasonably controlled. Otherwise, the amount that we speak, the whole night will pass. And you won't be able to account that what I spoke, when you speak little, then you'll be able to take into account. Today I spoke this, I spoke, was it necessary? Did I say it in the right way, etc.? And that person who wants his Islam, even the Quran Sharif says, where between husband and wife, yurida islahi. If their intention is Islam, then their Islam takes place. But if your intention is not, just for barakat we come, and we just listen also for barakat, etc., then islah. But when a person, that is what we discussed right at the beginning, that every day refresh our niyat, we have come for our islah, and to determine that my islah, and then we will take benefit from the talks also. And wallah, not one talk, one word is said, one point is made. You won't take one benefit, Allah will open 10 things on you. And if our niyat is not there, even one point doesn't register. And if a person who comes here, for example, there are three types of a person. One is a qani', that I'm all right. I'm just going there for barakat, or just going to show my face, etc. A contented person. That is one type of a person. He doesn't benefit also. Then one is a naqid. One is who looks for faults. He sets also to look for faults all the time. That person goes minus. And one is a talib, a person who wants to seek, who wants to benefit. That person benefits tremendously. And a simple example to understand that, if you take a ball and you throw it up, what power you throw, according to the weight of the ball, it will keep on rising, going up. As it will go up, it comes to a point where now it stops going up. And from there, it comes down faster. So going up is like a talib, a person who wants to improve, who wants to benefit. He'll be keep on going back up. The minute you are content with your condition, you can be a sheikh of hundreds of thousands of murids, but if you are not conscious of your islah, you don't stay at that point. If you a person who is content that now I'm here so high, I'm right up in the air, I'm so high, and this is my point here. The minute you become contented, you come down, and you come down faster also. And that is a naqid, who comes down, and he comes down fast also. So may Allah make us talib, that all the time, and we open our hearts, empty our hearts. When a person comes to his sheikh's majlis, he must empty his heart, not going that I know all this already. And I'm just going there like to pass time or something. That person doesn't benefit anything. But a person who empties his heart that I need islah and I need to learn, that person benefits. Like our Buzurg say, the story of Musa alayhi salam comes in the Quran Sharif. Of the 30 suparas, it comes 29 times, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Allah could have said it one time, like Allah told Yusuf alayhi salam story, one place, one time, finish. That also Allah could have done. But there are so many lessons also. And everywhere there is a new lesson. Now if a person reads Quran Sharif, he says, oh, Musa alayhi salam story I know now. And you just pass through it very lightly. Then so many points you will be deprived. Similarly, whenever something is said in a bayan, and oh, this story I know. So you switch yourself off mentally. And you open some other file and while he's saying this whole story, I know it already. But every time it is in the system of Allah, a new point will come out. If you listen carefully, that point which you never thought about, that point also you will understand. Once one Mufti Sahib came with Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, our Sheikh's son. And then while we were talking informally, I explained about Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullahi. I didn't take his name. I just told Maulana he Dawat by somebody's place. And after meals, he praised the lady. So that Mufti Sahib immediately said, this is Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi's kissa. So I carried on. Then I added the point the next day to what the husband told again. That what you call it, he praised his own wife. So he said, this point I didn't know before. So like that, there are many things that we don't know. And also, to say that, well, this is that story, or you add something, it's trying to show I'm a know-all. And in you, without realizing, it's a sign of pride also. I know this already. What are you telling me this? This I know already. But when a person listens humbly, he benefits also a lot, and also there is ikram for the person. Yeah, in the gathering also, a person, if he switches off his mind, it's not only in the mind, you can see it on the face, that this person now is not interested. And when you're listening with interest, it shows on the face also the person. So ikram of the person also. And in that way also a person benefits. Also one very big sin, which we are not really conscious of, and good people, that of ghibat, backbiting, and that is right. For example, you're a maulana. It happens even in the maulana's house. It happens in everyone. Or you're an ordinary musalli of the masjid. Something happened. We go and discuss it at home. And we are making ghibat at home. We are discussing people, and we don't realize we are making ghibat. And ghibat is not only when you're talking to outsiders, even with the family, we also a common ghibat, backbiting in the family about other family members. This is also very common, that family does happen, that family, they did this, today you heard this happen here, or even town people. And we don't make ghibat outside, but then we make it at home. One very good friend of mine, very jolly also, he said that people ask whether prawns are makruh or whether you can eat, etc. So he said, if you want to eat prawns, but don't eat maulana. Don't eat the maulana. That is, when you are sitting to have meals, then you're discussing maulana, the town's maulana. That maulana said this today, or he did this today, or he did that. He says that this is haram, totally. To eat and to backbite about a person, that is eating that person's flesh. And that is, and a maulana's flesh is the most poisonous. The present principal of Dabel Madrasa is Maulana Ahmad Buzurg. His grandfather, his father is Maulana Saeed Buzurg, his father, Maulana Ahmad Buzurg. In his time, which is very long ago, he said that a person who backbites about 3 or 7 ulama, I can't remember now, he said that, I promise you that you turn his body to the Qibla in the Qabr. But after that, before you put your plans and that finish, you'll see his body, his face is turned away from the Qibla, which is a very dangerous thing. So backbiting about any person, I asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once to backbite about, to talk about the non-Muslims. How is that? So Mufti Sahib asked, what's the necessity? In that time, read so many times Subhanallah, read so many times Alhamdulillah. Once this masala also I asked in Karachi, that for example to listen to news, isn't that also in backbiting? Because newspaper news, what you hear, this person did this, that person did that, that person did that, and you are not in a position to correct anything. If somebody comes to you with a problem about somebody, a wife comes and complains about her husband, that isn't backbiting. When she comes sincerely, not to expose him, but to find a solution to the problem. That is not backbiting, but just listening. And what can we do about all this? So all this news that we follow also, and if for some people it's necessary to know what's happening, especially a mufti, he must know what's happening, because he has to give fatwas all the time. Or an alim, especially if you are giving public talks, you have to be informed of what is happening. But just ordinarily, it's not necessary. And what we're hearing, this person killed so many people. That person murdered here. He committed rape there. This he did. That he did. Doesn't this also come into ghibat? And we're just listening. And we there's no necessity also. So this is also a serious thing. And the worst is with the family. And we take it as a casual talk. That we can't make love with one another. We can't be happy, and now all we want to pass our time is in ghibat like this. And the sad part, which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also has written, that we pass it off with the excuse that we are just talking of facts. And many people, when they start ghibat, they say to me, ghibat is very bad. But the minute but comes, you must know this is where he's starting now. This if, agar ne magar ke saath shadi ki, if got married to but, or kash ke paida hua. Who was the baby here? That hopefully. So just ifs and buts and that, these are dangerous things. That we say, I know it's haram, we mustn't make ghibat, but, and then there you start off. And ghibat is, as we read, worse than committing incest, having sex with your own mother. How it's so terrible, but, and unfortunately, it is so common. And we don't understand what is ghibat also. To talk, and really, if we make little effort, a person will also, if we understand the harms and evils of ghibat, backbiting, all these things, the gunas of the tongue, automatically your speech, your talking will get cut down by easily 70-80%. Even at home, you won't speak that. Then you will also find time to make love to your wife, to make jokes with her, to talk with her, make her happy. When you don't do that, then you are just making ghibat all the time, talking of all other people. So this is a common thing also in every house practically. It can be Maulana's house, it can be Sufi Sahab's house, Tablighi Sahab's house, and very sad also. Like for example, my Ustad, Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahab, Damat Barakatum of Mia Swam, explained they were in the Haram of Makkah Sharif, and one Alim of South Africa, he was sitting there, and with his few friends, and right there, they are making ghibat. Right in front of the Kaaba, talking, and this is a common thing. The people who go for Umrah got lot of time, and you meet your country people, your town people, etc., and you start a discussion there. There you went for ibadat. And this is common amongst other people. Hopefully Allah save us all. But many people, they are just busy talking there all the time. And in talking, inevitably you fall into backbiting. You start talking just now, how are your house things, how is so and so. Oh, he. And there you start with something about him. Or that person, you start something with him. And right in front of the Kaaba, in front of Hajar-e-Aswad, people are actually having their gatherings and making ghibat. In Jamaat we go, and then now we have to make tafakkud. Discuss a person whether he can go in Jamaat or not. And we made wuzu, we made two rakats namaz. We are sitting in a masjid in the name of Mashura. And how many times ghibat of good people, ghibat of ulama is taking place with wuzu in the masjid. So therefore we have to be careful. Yeah, in the khanqa, if we keep on talking, one particular rule by Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was in his khanqa, no talking. He would not tolerate people who are talking there all the time. And yeah, if we are making our, as we are to have your little savories after Taraweeh, etc., no problem. But to sit there and start discussions and talking, etc., that is very dangerous. In the Khanqah of Hadrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, people used to spend 40 days, 4 months, share a room also. And after 40 days, 4 months, they don't know one another's names also. They don't know from where you're coming, what work you're doing, you're married, not married, how many children. Whereas we, in the first 5 minutes, we got the whole profile of that person. A whole history we have got of that person already. And our whole history also, we have given it already. We went there to go and write up profiles and make our profile or something. Or we went there for our islah. So this stalking is also one thing that we must learn to control. Then we will get saved of these gunas. So if it comes under control, then at night you can think, today I spoke these things. Otherwise, the amount that we speak, where you going to ever keep hisab of it also? And if everyone has to write a book of my travels or my journeys, and by that I mean the thoughts that come in namaz. There won't be place, no paper will be left in the world, and no pens, and from where to where. And also the strange part is, the minute you make salam, all their thoughts are gone also. You won't be able to write anything also. While you are in namaz, sometimes you feel so guilty. What I thought now, in this rakat, in that, now I was doing this, now I was there, now what and what. So the thoughts that go wild, and then the language that goes wild, the amount of talking, these are important things that we control. And we are here in this world, many of us also, some of our good friends, they also said, now I've stopped talking so much, so my friends also don't like me anymore. Because today, good friendship, especially if you're having a party, a braai or something, the one who talks all the time. There is nothing to talk about, but he takes out something. And he must say something, that is good company. And a person who keeps quiet is bad company. Whereas, as far as our deen is concerned, and a woman samata naja, a person who keeps quiet, that person gains salvation. And keeping quiet in many things, even when we planning something, today we are such, Hazrat Maulana Shah Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali should give this example. He should say that you must work like a bed bug, not like a mosquito. A bed bug, it comes and it does its work, finish, bites you, everything, and then it's gone. Then you start scratching and you're looking for it, but the enemy is gone already. And a mosquito, before he attacks, he makes a big noise already. And he buzzes and makes a big noise. So you kill him before he can even do his work. So don't work like a mosquito, work like a bed bug. So this also, whatever were on G. G. Planning? G, Jazakumullah. When we're planning something, don't go and advertise it to everyone. Do your planning, everything, only who you have, because inevitably there are those who are your enemies who dislike you. When I was in Germiston, one person, it became quite a big issue in the town, and one person wanted to buy a shop, a farm shop. So I asked one senior member of the community who was well informed about all this thing. So he told him, very bad, don't ever make that mistake. And before he knew, he bought the shop for his own son. So you go and tell your secrets out, somebody else takes advantage of it. And there are enough people like that. And this also, mashura also, make it to that person who has got your welfare at heart, who you are quite convinced, he desires my goodness and my welfare. Make mashura with such person. Dream also. A dream, waqa'a kama abbara. It happens how the ta'bir was given. So don't just tell your dreams to any person also. A person who has got your welfare at heart and a person who is knowledgeable, tell that person about your dream, otherwise keep it to yourself. Don't tell everyone. So even your plans, what you are trying to do something, your new business you want to do, or even how many places that there is a good girl, I think I must take a proposal for my son. You ask somebody, what you think? No, very bad. And before you know, his son is married there already. They didn't think about that girl. And such a good girl, how we missed her. And then they go in. So therefore, most of these things, the more you keep quiet, the more safer you are. Where and who you got real trust in. Then when it comes to a reasonable, many people, our plans are just in the air. And already we acting like we millionaires already. That we making so much money already. And it gets thwarted also. By enemies, etc. So it's very, very important. So the main point here that I want you to make, that be careful about the use of the tongue, and especially with the family at home also. Don't just speak about anyone and everyone and everything that comes in your mind. You will get involved into ghibat, and ghibat destroys all. And one beautiful analogy of ghibat is like you earned a lot of money, you made business. It was end of the month, it was a peak period business time, you made lot of money. And when you went to the bank to deposit it, and that also you got safely. The crooks didn't rob you or something on the way. You got safely. But then you went and deposit it in your enemy's account. In your competitor's account. The one who is working against you, you and deposit it. This is what happens with ghibat. You make all the neki. You make all the hard work of making the sawab. And then finally, on the day of Qiyamah, these people will come and claim it. That you swore at us, you did this, you bite it about us, and they will take all your... So you earning for somebody else. How stupid is that person? Instead, don't earn such quietly. But you are earning, and we are hardly earning. What have we got also? And we are still depositing in the bank or in the account of somebody else. So therefore, a person must be on his guard. Shaitan, he is our chief enemy. And he first won't let you do amal. When you do amal, when you really determine how to do, he spoils your niyat. That people must praise you. People must say, oh, he made so many khatams this Ramzan. That he made so much tahajjud namaz this Ramzan. He spent 4 months, and he spent whole Ramzan, a paddle jamaat, and people must talk about it. He went such a place, he went paddle right in the rural areas, and how they made mujahada. But all why? The people must talk. So therefore, your niyat that you went every year, I don't miss my umrah. Last 30 years, every year I'm going for umrah. Why? Just that the people must talk, he's going. What you're doing in umrah is something else. How many people missing their faras namazes? Hey, we are in umrah. But we're missing our faras namazes, not with the jamaat, we're sleeping it out there. Hey? And the shopping that carries on, and the be-pardagi, and now with the eating in the hotel, what you call it? Lobby, whatever it is, all the things, how lot of things happening, but just the title, Umrah. So we must be careful. Or that even for Khanqah, that I'm going every year for Khanqah. Some people I never miss madrasa jalsa for so many years. If it is just for our niyat is not correct, so shaitan will attack us there. When you make your niyat correct and you do your amal with sincerity also, still shaitan won't leave you. He will still want to attack you. And this is also, in fact, one dua also, which inshallah I will mention, that we should make is very important also. That after we make our amal, shaitan causes us to destroy our amal. One example of this, Hadrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave, that a person who made 3 hajj in those days, not a single haji, not double, triple haji. And how? From the villages of India, Pakistan in those days. Today there also whole lot of advancement, material advancement is in the whole world today. Anyway, this person living out in a village, now he decided, and they should go for hajj minimum of 6 months, otherwise 12 months, 18 months, the whole hajj journey. And then preparing for it was about 6 months. And they should take their rice with them also, take their flour with them also, take their ghee with them also, everything. So how much goods they got. And then the whole village sees them off till the tar road where they pack it on the bus. They're going now to Lahore or they're going to Delhi, wherever it is. Then half the village goes with them till Lahore station, for example. There then, now they're going by train to Karachi or from Delhi, they're coming to Bombay now. Another quarter, half goes away, quarter remain, they go and see them off till there. Then I had the opportunity myself also in Bombay, in Sabu Siddiq Musafir Khana, where they should work, the Jamaat brothers, we all work on the Hajis. They don't know Labbaik also. They haven't got passport, now they get their passport. Not like us here, everything is ready when you are leaving. Now the ticket is getting done. Now the passport is getting done. They don't know about Ihram. They don't know whether Hajj is made in Makkah or in Medina. Completely. Now 3 weeks, 1 month they stay there. Now you are teaching them. Then they go by ship till Delhi, till Jeddah. And those waters are usually rough. And people vomit and spewing. And it's a terrible condition on the ship. About 7 days they spend there. Then from there, their customs at Jeddah was like common saying, worse than Qiyamah also. Those officers there, the bag of rice, they just take a knife and poke into it. Now all the rice is falling out. The can of ghee, they just poke into it. The ghee, the heat of Jeddah and that ghee melting, all the ghee. Now they're going by camel to Makkah Sharif. Another 3 days or so, they're spending, and then on the way, Bedouins used to waylay and rob them also. Now they made Hajj finish. Then they go by camel to Medina Sharif again. And like this, that whole Hajj, 3 Hajj like this, what effort, what sacrifice. But in one sentence, a 3 Hajj like that, down the drain. That somebody came and visit, and this Haji Saab told his son or his worker, that bring the zamzam of my 3rd Hajj and give this person. What he wanted to make known, that I'm not single Haji, I'm not double, I'm triple Haji. In one sentence, all that sawab is gone. So shaitan won't leave us. Now we were in Madagascar, in Tananarive, and there were quite a few jamaats there also. After the program, everything, we were having meals. So one very nice person, Haji Saab, elderly person, we were sitting together and eating. And he was explaining all, mashallah, lot good work he's doing, and 56 Hajj he has made. So just as he said that sentence, one person told him, Chacha. So he said, not Chacha, Haji Saab. Don't call me Chacha, I'm Haji Saab. So if his niyat was to show that I'm Haji Saab, all his 56 Hajj in that one sentence is gone. So this also happens easily, that a person, he destroys his amal in his baseness, in his stupidity, in his ignorance, that what little we hardly do anything, what little also we do, that also we go and destroy. So make this dua, that is the dua I wanted to say, that oh Allah, in my life, whatever amal you gave me tawfiq, I hardly did anything, you gave me the opportunity or whatever it is from Allah's side, and I went and destroy it again. First I spoil it by bad intention, no concentration, all that I spoil it. And anyway, when it gets done, and then I go and destroy it again. by talking about it, by boasting about it, by making it known that I did so much, I did so much. So those amal of mine, oh Allah, your qudrat is very great and your mercy is also very great. You return them back into my account again. I went and destroyed my account. I went and put it out of my account. You put it back. And oh Allah, beg Allah, Allah is so merciful that how much the first sawab was, you can even multiply. Allah is that being that when He forgives you, He doesn't just forgive you and give you an empty slate. He gives you full with sawab again. He changes your bad deeds into good deeds. قَدْ بَدَّلْتُ سَيِّعَاتِكُمْ حَسَنًا. I change your bad deeds into good deeds. So what I destroyed in my stupidity, oh Allah, you put it back again and you make it even more than what it was. Make this dua also that on the day of Qiyamah when we come, whatever Allah gave us tawfiq of amal, all those amals must be there. None of them must be destroyed. And all our gunas, smallest, biggest, all guna, public, private, in the right of Allah, in the right of fellow people, each guna, oh Allah, you make it maaf. There must be no guna. My scale of, when my amal are weighed, the left hand side of the scale, the pen, it must be empty. And only this side, and that must be very and heavy full, oh Allah. And Allah is merciful, we beg Him, it's not difficult, but shaitan is our enemy, he will destroy us. And Allah said, it's not enough to do a good deed, but man jaa bil hasanati, to do a good deed and come with it. To make money is not so difficult, but afterwards to look after the money. One is from the crook which you yourself are the crook of your own money. And one is the outside crooks. You yourself, that many people, as our old people used to say that money can't just stay in his pocket. He has to, it's itching him all the time. Until he doesn't spend it. You need it, you don't need it anywhere. You can't, you just can't sit still with money. When money is there, it's making you dance all the time. You just can't, till you didn't finish your money. And now where you go and spend it? In the worst places. Where? Renovation of the house. No necessity. But just because this December you made some good money, you got money in your pocket. Now this renovation. Or you spend your money there. Changing your car all the time. All these things here, this is where our money is just going all the time. On the garden, our old people, they used to make gardens, but vegetable gardens. And that period also came when they should look down on people who make flower gardens. That you're wasting your time and money. It's not haram, it's jais. But today only flower gardens. Only for beauty. And one garden, how much doesn't it cost? To maintain a garden, how much doesn't it cost? What shaitan puts you in your mind? We need a swimming pool. You build it and how expensive. And perhaps more expensive is then to maintain the swimming pool. And the first season, another one, two seasons you use it. After that you only dip your legs once or twice in the whole season. And after that you hardly get time to look at the swimming pool. You are so busy, now only you are maintaining it. And the maintenance is not cheap. It's expensive. All these things are just gimmicks. So money you made, and now you can't sit still with the money. It itches you. You have to spend it wherever, wrong or right, but you just have to spend the money. So that is the inside crook. The outside crook is the outside crook who comes. You prepare everything, your deposit, you put everything ready, and they don't let you take the trouble of going to the bank also. They come and collect it from you, from here. They take it away from you. So that is the outside crook. And then when you go to the bank and you deposit in your enemy's account, that is by ghibat, hukukul ibad, rights of fellow people. You make all the money and you deposit in somebody else's account. Qiyamah's day will come and you say, oh, that my competitor, I thought I knew what he's there, how lot, where we are, at what levels we are, but I never knew he's gone so high, and it's all your things you deposited in his account. How many of us, who you make ghibat? One buzurg also said, if you want to make ghibat, make of the house people. Ke ghar ki punji, ghar hi mein rahe. That the capital of the house stays in the house. So when you make ghibat of your wife, so at least your income will go to her. You make ghibat of your son, so your income will go. But who you make ghibat, or who the people you don't like? And so you giving all your income, you are giving it off to them. So then we shouldn't make that mistake also. But this is also very common. And then also Allah Ta'ala said for both, man jaa bil hasana wa man jaa bis sayya'a. Sayya'a guna also that we made. That also doesn't mean that now you are doomed, you made a guna. Only if you keep that guna and you go with it, then you will face the consequence. If you make tawbah, finish. But what shaitan does, before the act of a guna, he puts in your mind that it's a small matter, it is just a makruh thing. Or it's not so important also. Or everyone else is doing it also. Not so important. When you commit the guna, then shaitan tells you, how bad are you? You made such a guna, and now you want to make tawbah? He said, where there'll be tawbah for you? Tawbah is impossible for you. Now he discourages. First he will tell you, make the guna, you can make tawbah. After you made your guna, you make tawbah istighfar. When you made the guna, then shaitan said, you made this guna, you made in Ramzan this guna, you made it in Makkah Sharif this guna, while you were in Jamaat, while you were in Atikaf, in the masjid you made guna. Where say Allah will forgive? No chance that you can be forgiven. So now he stops you from making tawbah. Whereas no matter what guna it is, even if it is shirk and kufr, a person makes tawbah istighfar, Allah forgives readily. Sincere, as soon as a person turns, and Allah is so merciful, Allahu Akbar, that we must cry when we make tawbah, we must feel guilty. But so much it comes in the hadith, which is the inspiration from Allah's side, that if you can't cry, then make your face like a crying person. That also say Allah says it's enough for me. And Allah told you that you pretend. What it is that you make your face, you are pretending. And Allah told you to, and Allah knows you pretending. But even that Allah says I'm happy with, even on that I will forgive you. So when Allah is so forgiving, but shaitan says, where can you be forgiven? Now you go with gunas, and then you carry the burden of the gunas. And imagine, yeah, if we have to carry some small parcel, for just a minute it's alright you keep it, but as a long distance you have to walk with it, it's becoming heavier and heavier all the time. That little whatever you're carrying, as the distance and time is going, it's becoming heavy. Qiyamah day, what will be the weight? And all the weight of our guna, how it were mountains of gunas on our backs, how will we carry that on the day of Qiyamah? So therefore, don't fall in the traps of shaitan. What good we do, don't destroy it also by shaitan's inspirations, or rather his instigations. And whatever bad we have done, don't let shaitan stop us also from making tawbah. Be sincere and be regular with your tawbah also. So the tongue, they don't become slaves of taste, that we just want to enjoy food. No matter then, we don't worry, we just look for loopholes, that no matter anyone, we even didn't say it's halal, but we just say so and so said it's halal. Just because we want to satisfy our taste buds. And don't become slaves of our food like this. Like mad gourmets. Just worried about food all the time. That person can't see his way forward in life. A person who is aram talab, who is just looking for his comfort all the time. And just looking for for his food, for his comfort. He wants respect all the time. Forget that anything for deen's work is very far from that person. Maulana Fasiuddin asked me a good question Zohar time, that in order to, that Allah takes more work from us, what must we do? These qualities if you have, your inside qualities. And if we have this, that just food is our major. One person, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, asked him, that you haven't got tea habit, drinking tea. So he says, no, not at all. Only when I don't get my tea, my head pains. So he said, that is habit. That if you don't get your tea, your normal 4 o'clock tea, whatever tea, that if I don't get it, then I get a headache. I don't feel right. That means you got that habit. Paan habit. Our buzurgs, and one tarbiyat by buzurgs, that you must have no habit. No habit for tea, for paan, for sweets, for ice cream, for savories. If you get it well and good, you don't get it, doesn't matter also. And this is what is also our islah. Going to a khanqa, that all these habits of ours, that this must be like this, it must be like this, that those things must go out. Some of us are so particular. One time, we were in khanqa by Hazrat, and for Jummah, Hazrat had sent for me. He told me to make Juma Bayan, and I took a little while to come. So he asked me, why you delayed in coming? So I said, I was bathing. So he says, you also like women, that they take so long to bath. Whereas there, the proper system is, you remove all your unnecessary hair, etc., by Thursday already. Everything. And now you shower 5 minutes for Juma Sunnat. And then you are ready already. But we take one and a half hour. And so many of our good friends, when we come out, good people, now creams come out. And then brushes come out. And this is all women's work, all that. Now we are so particular about this. Work of deen is not taken from such people. The deen is, work of deen is taken from those who are rough and tough. But those who are so spoiled and all these small things, our food we are so particular about, this it must be, that must be there, all these things, then where are you going to, we want Salahuddin Ayyub, and we want people like Khalid ibn Walid. But these are qualities that make these people, not softies, that we can't stay away from our TV serials and operas and soaps. We can't stay away from our chappies, and we can't stay away from all these small little things of dunya. And we are expecting to do great work of deen. See, that is one reason why we should study the lives of our buzurgs. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, when he was still a small boy, like all small children, they have something which they like. And they just take a liking and they always with it. So it was a small pillow which he always kept. And you should say, Mera Takya, my pillow. His father gave him one slap. He said, you're hardly earning still and already mine. This attachment to material things. And Hazrat's Abiti is golden advice. And it's in English also. So we should try and read it. It is in English, isn't it? Gee, we should try and read it and see what golden advice. But in short, this habit of ours for every small thing, it must be like this, it must be like that. Work of deen is not taken from such people. Those who are hard and tough, Allah takes work from such people. So this, that our taste, and just because our food, one place there was an argument between husband and wife. We went there. So the husband, he made it clear. He says, I am food. Not that I like food, I am food. And he said that if my wife cooks curry khichdi, and afterwards she cooked it, finished, put it one side, not in the fridge, on the stove, and she warms it again, then that is not food for me. Baked beans and tinned food is not food for me. It must be cooked and it must be from the stove into my plate. He said, I am food, I want food like this. And she was religious, pious, and that she plans herself, cooks her food, but the husband doesn't want it. So there are people who are like that. I remember now, alhamdulillah, Allah's fazal, generally the ummah has come a long way. But when we were small, for Seri, I can still remember very clearly, my mother, my sisters getting up, especially my mother, and then lighting the coal stove, 2 o'clock in the morning, getting the stove and that, cooking fresh food and feeding that fresh food for everyone. And common, those days, seri used to be curry khichdi. That was the common seri. And not cooked at night or anything. But at that time, fresh. And after Maghrib, after Asr, cooking again. After Maghrib, fresh food from the stove. So some people have got that, they want food like that. That is healthy also. But to be, make food your object of life. How many of ours? My main thing is food. And tell, if 1 month is too much also. At one time, Azad will have got a very bad reputation. Don't hear of that now, but it was at one time when any boy would come and propose for a girl in Azadwal. The girl would say clearly, Friday my kitchen is closed. Weekends is eating out. Azadwal gained a bad reputation for this at one stage. Almost whoever they would come and see a girl, she say that Fridays, finished, kitchen is locked up. Now it is eating out. So they're so regular, or even now and then, of necessity, if a person has to eat, sometimes he's a musafir, He's traveling. That is different, but that also be selective. Don't just eat any and everything what is there. Be very selective, and you won't die if you eat little less on that occasion. Even the Quran permits that if you are muttar, you fear you're going to die, you can even eat haram that time. But the condition is only so much that can keep you alive. So sometimes if you have to eat such places, then only so much which is absolutely necessary. But this that we have to regularly go and eat out, and also a false feeling that you are like somebody you are being served on. The woman especially, they have to serve all the time. Now they also being served all the time. And how many things we have to overlook. How many we maintain parda, but there then parda. If it's a male serving, then the woman are involved. If it's a female serving, the woman are involved. And they come with their sweet language and they got their perfume. And when they speak to you, they put their face right in your face and speak. And in this way, how are you going to say? So this is not our way at all. So may Allah give us tawfiq inshallah, and Allah give me and us all tawfiq. And if we want to make something out of ourselves, we want the ummah to be made. It's not just the reading tasbihat and wazaif and nawafil and this. No, these qualities which we have to develop. And how the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala knew. Very briefly, Baytul Muqaddas, when he conquered it, those people knew, which they know till today and they use, put these people into temptation of food. Read that one article where they said it wasn't necessary to go and bomb Afghanistan. What bombs they should have dropped was candy and all these things here, and make them give them our culture, the American culture, change their way of thinking, and without one bomb you'll win the whole country. You don't even have to go and bomb those people or anything. So I wanted to say something. Gee, when they wanted to conquer Baytul Muqaddas, then one of the things which they know, Shaitan knows, our weakness is woman. So what they put the Sahaba where they were camped and where they made namaz, they had to walk 5 times a day. They put their most beautiful girls laden with the best jewelry on the way. So they will get tempted. But those were men, rijal, la tulhihim tijar. They were not men, they were not puppets. Like us, they were men. They did not even look at those women. The Amir, as they left, he read the ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Cast your gazes low. When they asked those girls afterwards, you people didn't manage to tempt them and get them, mislead them. They say, we were just like stone or wood there. They hardly looked at us. Not even from the corner of, you can make out. Don't think if you look from the corner of the eyes, no one. Somebody knows there is a big Dajjal and a big Jew. Like that, he's big Sufi, he looks like that. But what is looking from the side? And your first person to make it out is your wife. She is the first person to know that how you are looking from the side and looking. Not even from the side of the eyes they looked at us. If those qualities we develop, then we can hope for the golden era of Islam to come. But we want to be our softies, living in our luxuries and our comforts and that. Our food. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu detested 2 types of, like we have beans and potatoes together. We got what? Beans, potatoes and dablas and how many 10 things in that one vegetable curry. Then we got ghee also. We got this also. Hazrat Umar, this was out of the question. He would whoop a person for that. So our eating habits also, if we can correct them, then we can hope Allah will take some work and Islam will come up in the world again. Otherwise, if we are like what we are and we want to live like their lives, just one Maulana was here today, he said in Medina Sharif, Maulana Abrar al-Haqsaf was with them, somebody asked for a telephone number and he gave the number whatever, 084 whatever. Maulana got so angry, sitting in Medina and you talking the language of the enemies, English he was giving them, they were talking Urdu all the time, but the numbers he gave in English, that also he couldn't tolerate. So these are the things that we have to develop, but our mind doesn't go on all, and these are all unnecessary things, they're not important. What you talking about all these things here, we take it that attitude, then how can we go ahead? May Allah be merciful to us, kind us and guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah.